here.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, I'm all yours. I'm all yours.
So is that, you know, what's really fascinating about the Seitan is that there's like almost no doubt that once you have a melech, right, it's a highly regulated, you know, industry, right, in terms of, especially on the losa say side, and tzusim and kesef, and nashim, possibly gaiva as well, when you talk about the Ramban, and on the say side. But it's obviously far more ambiguous as to whether or not one should even be in that position, right? So, you know, again, you know, putting it on that, you know, spectrum with gerushin and shchita, where there's a mahalich, you know, the ta'alich is prescribed, but obviously getting into the situation to begin with, you know, this side of Ervas Davar, you know, Lashita Spe Shamai, the only acceptable get is a required get, you know, so you have to wonder. There's a very ambiguous section of the Torah. There's just, I guess there's no way around that ambiguity. But, you know, Me'idach Gisa, right, in terms of the Shmuel passage, that seems much less equivocal, right? Okay, so let's take a look at that.
Vayhi kasher zakin Shmuel ve'asam et panav shotim l'Yisrael vayhi shem b'no habakor Yoel shem yishneo avia shotim b'ver sheva ve'loch l'vanav v'darkav v'dirachav vayitu acharei habatza v'ktus shokad vayitu mishkab.
Which sounds very bad. Chazal say it may not have been quite as bad as it sounds, but it definitely sounds bad. Okay. Like lo tata mishpat, so vayatu mishpat. That seems bad.
Vikapsu kozi gnei shel vayavul shmel haramata vayamru elav hinei atah zakanta v'nachal lo chuv v'dirachacha atah sima lanu melech l'shavtinu t'chol goyim vayira adavar v'nei shmel kasher amru t'na lanu melech l'shavtinu v'yit palel shmel el Hashem v'yamru Hashem el shmel shma v'kol ha'am l'chol asher yimru elecha.
Okay, so far, just based on Shmuel's reaction and Hashem's reaction, good, bad, or neutral?
Bad.
Right. Yeah, and possibly very bad. Vayera hadavar b'nei Shmuel. And Hashem says, okay, yeah, I guess you should go ahead and listen to them because, you know, don't worry, it's not you, it's me, meaning it's me, God. So, their request for a human king is presented as ki osi masu mimloch aleihem, a repudiation of me. So, you know, if I were writing somebody a letter of recommendation, for example, and I was asked to describe their religious attributes, and I said, you know, he dons tefillin daily, he's always amongst the Asar Rishonim Taminyan, he learns Daf Yomi and Shnayim Mikra, he volunteers for Tomchei Shabbos, but he repudiates Malchus Shemayim.
The interruption, it's your staff now at the College Garden.
So you would think that, like, you know, more or less independent of whoever was reading the evaluation, once you got up to that part of he repudiates Malchus Shemayim, assuming that they knew what that meant and they were still reading, that it would have to be held against the person. So that part of the recommendations that I write where I put in sort of a stock line at the end, please don't hesitate to reach out to me with any questions or concerns. Assuming they were a sentient being, that would have to be a concern. ki osimasu mimloch aleihem. And I think that there's something very sensible about that. Does anybody want to articulate that in their own terms? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? I mean, yeah, right. So if our sense of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Anu Avadecha V'Ata Malkeinu, and that's a very big part of it, and then all of a sudden we say, but not really, I mean, Ata Malkeinu, but you know, so is Ari. So you guys will have to work that out amongst yourselves, a little bit of a power sharing, maybe Kesar, Plot Kesar. Anybody Kesar, Plot Kesar? You can rotate, you can switch off. That seems to be a pretty frontal assault on the very idea of Malchus Shamayim in any iteration. Yeah, Ariel. So, very fascinating that you should mention Eishes Sifas Torah, because there are a number of Rishonim who make that comparison explicitly. Ariel was always a medieval man at heart. So, Ariel, what I would respond to that is true, but it might be worse than that. Because Eishes Yifas Torah definitely seems to be giving in to lust, right? V'ra'isa v'ashivya Eishes Yifas Torah, Rashi quotes, based on Chazal, Afilu Eishes Ish. It seems like a very, very massive concession in terms of our normal standards, in terms of Tahara and Ishus, etc. Very massive concession. L'dibra Torah l'kenegedi Yitzhara, with everything associated with that, you know, Ishas Nuab and Sora Mora. Bad, very bad. But I would still say it's not quite repudiation of Malchus Shemayim. Osi ma'asu mimlo chaleihem. As Gavi would say, leze majeste. It's like the ultimate theological crime. That's why I said, you know, we'll see views in the Tanoim. Let's say this is the equivalent of Avodah Zarah Mamish. To regalize a human being is to assault divine majesty. Because there can't be two. Avies Rosenberg, who was released from prison yesterday on Yud Tes Kislev.
You say like a change in essence isn't necessarily bad, but the way that they went about it was wrong. Like, it says over here, Tazakanta, people would say, okay, maybe like berate them a little bit, maybe like do something about that, try to get a different trophy, like, just don't make a king.
Okay, look, I don't deny that as a conceptual possibility. I would certainly not give them the award for diplomacy in terms of the way that they formulate this to Shmuel. Say, Shmuel, Rabbi, like, we don't mean this personally at all. We really love you, but you are old and your children are corrupt, so you're not offended, right? We like you. I mean, it's just, you're old. So I agree that that may be problematic. But when it says ki osi maasu mimlo chaleihem, I get the sense that, in fairness, this is like a very fundamental to the request itself. In other words, even if they asked really nicely, but the very institution. I'll get just to give a mashal and then go back to you and then go over to Shimon. So like. imagine you went to your father. And you said it really nicely, like, Dad, you're great. And you start listing, like, a lot of really good things he did since Little League. And just like, you're really an amazing father and such a great role model, and especially around my bar mitzvah and all of that. And I'm just so appreciative and can never thank you enough for all of your really great contributions to this family. I was thinking that we might, you know, bring in, just to give it a try, a different father, see how it goes. Like, even if you put it in the nicest possible way, there are some things where it's like a very deep betrayal or repudiation of the occupant of the office. Right? So it sounds to me, at least at this point, kilo oscha masu, Shmuel, I know what they said was extremely offensive, especially that part of them calling you old and a lousy father, but don't worry, because really it's not you they're rejecting, they're actually rejecting me. It almost seems like, right, that really what the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Shmuel, as offensive as what they said to you was, there's an even greater offense here. And the greater offense is the fact that they seek a replacement for Malchus Shemaim. At least that's the way it seems to me. Yeah, Avi, go ahead.
You say that's the Kachal HaGanim. The fact that they want a king isn't really the problem. It's just that they want a king because of they want to be like all the nations that surround them.
But would you at least concede that that's a bit of a speculation in terms of the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Kiyosi masu mimloch aleihem, doesn't sound like that the issue is kechol hagoyim. That may be additionally problematic. I might put that in a category with the way that they treated Shmuel, which was not pleasant. But I'm just saying that as ambiguous as I find the psukim in Dvarim, v'yamarta asim alai melech kechol hagoyim asher esfi osai, som tasim alecha melech, what's the v'yamarta, what's the som tasim? I don't find the psukim in Shmuel to be that circumspect. It seems to me that if I wanted to say this was bad, I would say something along these lines. Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel, and kilo osimasu, oschamasu ki osimasu mlochaleim. I think that both the religious authority of the time, Shmuel Hanavi, and God himself are strongly condemning this. It reminds me of a shir I gave this morning to Shimon. I was giving a shir to Tyrese Kolol, and somebody asked me to comment on some current events that I wasn't so keen on commenting on, but it was admittedly tangentially related to the shir topic that we were discussing. So I said that this is a quote, I condemn and deplore it in the strongest possible terms, end quote. To which one of the people, the guy who asked me to comment in the first place, said, Rabbi, I feel like you're dancing around the issue. So, what would you have me do? You know, sometimes there's just no way of satisfying. It just seems like a very condemnatory statement. Yeah, Shimon, go ahead.
I feel like similar to what Avi was saying, that this king was right, that they want to make really their attention. For example, we want a king because we want a judge, but what the only problem was the Amir were killed.
Can I pull a Rav Ilson on you? Can I pull a Rav Ilson on you? You guys know Rav Chaim Ilson? I'm the Talmid Mufakim of the Rav. He used to have a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael years ago. He was a chavrus of my Rabbi Rav Rosenzweig for a period of time, and chavrus of Rav Moshe Tversky, Zecher Tzadik, V'kadosh Levracha. Very, very, very massive Talmud Chacham. Really one of the Rav's elite Talmidim. The first year I ever heard from him was in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, and he asked what a certain Rambam meant, and I happened to know what Reb Chaim said about it, and I quoted Reb Chaim to him, every time I think about this story, it gets a little bit more embarrassing, like as if he didn't know that Reb Chaim. Right? You probably do it by heart. And he looked at me and he said, I didn't ask you what Reb Chaim said. I didn't ask you what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. I asked you what the Rambam says. So I know that Gemara. But is that what the Pasuk sounds like? Does the Pasuk sound like the problem here are the Zakenim against the Amharets?
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like it mentioned one group or the other, but the fact that there's multiple statements in there that do have very...
I am aware that Chazal knew how to read the Pesukim very, very closely. I'm just, you know, before you're like, you know, operating at like, you know, what does Kanye call it? DEFCON 3 or something? You're at a very advanced level here. I'm just trying to understand the words. Kilo is chamasu, kiosi masu, mimlo chaleihem. I don't get the impression that it mattered who was asking and, you know, whether they said please and thank you. It sounds like a really bad idea. The request is tantamount to repudiating Malchus Shemayim. Right? So, like, you could put that more nicely or less politely. You could have the right people ask or the wrong people ask. But it still seems really bad. So I just think we have to appreciate that in the pshat. I'm not, you know, discounting the incredible range of views here, and including mi gedole harishonim, who assume it's a mitzvah min haTorah to appoint a melech, and then you're going to have to do a lot with these psukim. I acknowledge that, but I just want to establish how hard we have to swim against the current here, and why others were, you know, much more skeptical about, you know, this institution. Min ha-tanaim, min ha-moraim, min ha-rishonim, min ha-acharonim, Reb Yitzchak Moshe. Did you have your hand up?
After the response to Shaul's question.
Really? Don't let me. It was a good way to bring in Reb Wilson a little bit to this year. By the way, I did recover after picking myself up off the floor. I was actually able to tell him what the pshat and the Rambam probably is. The more memorable part, I think, for me and for everybody else was still that part of the shiur. That man took no prisoners. It's true. Yeah, Michael, go ahead.
My question was answered.
Okay.
Not like the strongest interpretation, but like it's interesting that a pasuk says to call again the choice of a sinu. But over here it says twice just kachal ha'gayim. It seems like the focus is on the gayim itself instead of the surrounding aspect. It could be like they wanted to be like these nations who had false gods. They wanted to be like the gayim, not the people who are around them, not trying to just be like the...
So I just want to make sure I understand. Does that make it better or worse?
That makes it worse.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like, back to the mashal that I was giving you a second ago, like if you were saying, you know, Dad... You were doing a really great job, but I noticed a few of the neighbors have been trying out, you know, different fathers, and I was thinking that might be interesting. I mean, you could definitely stay in the garage. Like, I don't think anybody would have a problem with that, you know. I think it would be worse. I think it would be more hurtful, right? It's sort of like saying, right? You know, the neighbors are doing it, so yeah, I agree. These things are, you know, Mosif Rasha al Harishos. Okay. Okay, so Eitan, if you don't mind going ahead. Okay, so now, right, the torrent, you know, has sort of, you know, been unleashed. So all of the things that they've done from the moment I took them out of Egypt until this very day. And they've abandoned me and served, right, foreign gods. So, you know, now Shmuel, you know what it feels like a little bit, you know. Welcome to the club.
Ach ki ha'et ha'i b'hem, ויקנת להם משפט המלך אשר ימלוך עליהם. ויום השמועה את כל דברי השם אל העם, השואלים מאיתו מלך. ויום הזה יהיה משפט המלך אשר ימלוך עליהם, את פניכם ייקח ושם לו במרכבתו, פרשיו ורצו לפני מרכבתו, ולשים לו שרי אלפים ושרי חמישים, ולחרוש חרישו ולקצור קצירו, ולעשות כלי מלחמתו וכלי רכבו.
Okay, so the first thing he identifies as Mishpat HaMelech is, so this king that you guys are really excited about, so he's going to take your sons, and he's going to impress them into his army, into his cavalry and his horses, and they'll run in front of his chariot, and they'll be generals and colonels, and then also they'll, you know, work in the fields for him, and they'll do his harvest and plow his field, and they'll make his weapons and his chariots. Oh, and as far as your daughters are concerned, and your daughters will get to choose between being perfume makers, bakers, and cooks. And your fields and your vineyards and your olive orchards, but only the good ones he'll take. And he'll give them to his servants. And as far as your other produce is concerned, he'll take a tithe of that and give it to his eunuchs and servants. And you'll be saying, yeah, okay, he took my fields and my sons and my daughters, but at least I have my avadim and my shvachos, but okay, he'll take those two. And then you'll say, but at least I have my donkey. But then he'll take your donkey. And then you'll say, but at least I have my sheep. And then he'll take some of those, and then you'll say, at least I have my freedom, but then he'll make you his servant. And then you will say, so then, Eitan, what's going to happen? What will be the next stage in this very rosy picture?
You're going to cry out to Hashem because the king is too harsh.
Right, and what will God do?
Not listen.
Right. So after this very ringing endorsement of the institution of monarchy, it's hard to understand really why anybody wouldn't be lining up at this point to have a melech. Who doesn't like to get their fields taken and their donkey? So you could well understand how this melech seems to be like a pseudo god. It seems like he could do whatever he well pleases. Control over people's lives, their assets, their freedom. There's a reason that Gavi and his people took to the barricades, you know, and said, you know, equality, liberty, and fraternity. So you would think, or I would have thought, this might have moved the needle a little bit, but so they said, in response to Shmuel, lo, ki imelech yalenu. Yeah, we'll take the king. Okay. Right, so he says, and then they say, Avi, to your point, and that way we could be like all the other pagan nations around us, bring great nachas to Hashem, and our king will lead us into battle.
Vayishmashmal el divrei ha'am v'idabrim b'oznei Hashem. ויאמר השם אל שמואל שמע קול המלך וימלכת להם מלך ויאמר שמואל אל אנשי ישראל לכו איש לעירו.
Okay, so God says, right, the people have spoken. This is what they want. B'derech shadam rotsa leilech, b'malichin osa. There's bechira in this world. Shmuel, I think, said it to them in as direct a way as it could possibly be said. And they said, we don't care. We don't care. Okay. So before we'll see the Gemara, let's just take a look at the Medrash Halacha. Ki tavo el ha'aretz. Okay, so clearly according to this daya, asei mitzvah amura binyan shebischara tikanes laretz. Not only is this a mitzvah, but potentiates
it brings you into Eretz Yisrael.
Kenis laretz as well. Wow. Amarta sima lei melech. So Rabbi Norai, right? I mean, that's kind of the point I was making before. Rabbi Norai says, "Yeah, this is obviously very bad, right? Because Sefer Dvarim has to be understood in light of Sefer Shmuel, and in Sefer Shmuel, it's a genai. It's a horrible thing. This request." I don't care how many pleases or thank yous you use. This request is an affront to Malchus Shamayim. Period. It's just offensive.
Amar Yehuda ve'lo mitzvah min haTorah lishol lahem melech. Shnei marashom tasi melech haMelech. Lama ne'ashu bimei Shmuel lefi sheiktimu al yada.
Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda says it's a mitzvah. So what do I do, you know, with all of the evidence to the contrary in Shmuel? So what was that? That was a...
too early.
Yeah, it was like a timing error. Jumped the gun, a false start, a little bit of a 5-yard penalty. I have to be honest, I find Rabbi Yehuda Shita very difficult. The Psukim don't say, what Shmuel said is a good idea, but, you know, once you come back a year from now, or next generation, he goes nuts. And Hashem is infuriated. But, okay, it's a machlokes hatanaim. It's not, you know, it's not for me to say. But I think that Rabbi Nehorai is reading the psukim in a very direct sense, and Rabbi Yehuda is, you know, terutzim, to be honest. Okay, but, it gets even more interesting. Kechol agayim asher svi hosai. Many of you noted this.
Rabbi Nehorai omer, lo bikshu la'melech, ela la'avida ma'vodazara. Shnemar v'ayinu gam anach v'kechol agayim.
So Rabbi Nehorai, again, the same Rabbi Nehorai who said before, B'gnus and Shal Yisrael, says, let's not beat around the bush what was going on here. The Melech itself was an affront to Malchus Shemayim, and why did they want it? Right? L'hosif reshal rishasam. They wanted it so that they could be more deeply involved in Avodah Zarah. So there's like two dinim of Avodah Zarah here. There could be the very idea of a melech basar v'adam, referred to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as the melech evyon. That very notion. And then in addition to that, for what purpose? For Avodah Zarah? Very bad. Okay. Now let's take a look at the Bavli. Start with the Mishnah, the Chacham Beis.
Motzi l'mechanas harshus al pi beizin shal shivim ve'echad uparis la'asot lo derech vein l'mecha biyado derech ha'melech ein lo shir v'chol ha'am bozuzin notim lo v'hu nota el chalak v'rosh.
Okay, we'll go back over this to get through the pratim here. But, right, the melech has to consult with Besin if he wants to go to something called an optional war. He has powers of eminent domain, which we'll get to. We'll go back over this, you know, the dukim here. But let's just at least establish the range. Okay, so Tanina.
Chara zimna
Right, there's already saw the mission of Beis Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says, "I did Tana Kol Milay Demelech." Since the second parak is where we talk about the Midi Demelech, Tana Nami. I'm reviewed Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says you could really do these things. You could, you know, take your children and your fields and the whole story. And Rab says, "Yeah, Shmuel was just trying to scare the wits out of them." Shenemar. Right, because he holds that, you know, part of the idea of the Melech is that we should have a little bit of Yira, or a lot of Yira. And so, you know, Shmuel wanted them to start having the Yira even before they had the Melech. Okay, that's, I think, quite a novel approach. But that's what Rab wants to say. Kitanoi, but this is really this Machlokes Amoraim. Rab and Shmuel, as I've indicated, actually has roots even earlier in the Tanoim.
Rabbi Yossi Amar Kol Amar Parshas Melech Melech Mutabro. Rabbi Huda Amar Don Amar Parshas Zo Elakei La'ayim La'ayim Shnamar Shesomet Tzim Melech Melech Shtei Amato Elacha.
V'chein Ayer Rabbi Huda Omer.
Shlosha Mitzvos Nimzavu Yisrael Kinyasata Meres Lamid La'ayim Melech Le'achur Zara Shalamalik V'livno La'ayim Beis Abichira.
Who can explain how it's Rabbi Huda L'shita? So the Zalba Rabbi Huda holds it's really a din mitzvah. We saw that in the Sifrei as well, that it's really a mitzvah to have a melech. He says, it's not so bad, because that whole Mishpat HaMelech thing was only La'ayim Aleihem, you know, scare them. He's not really allowed to do this thing. He's constricted by, you know, certain rules and governing principles. He can't just, you know, do whatever that, you know, he well pleases. Control people's lives and their property. And so, l'shitaso, since he holds it's a mitzvah, he's saying that, you know, it can't be, you know, quite this bad. Rabbi Noray Omer. Right, Rabbi Noray, that seems familiar to us, right? He's the man who said this was all a ruse to Avodah Zarah, Biknuson Shal Yisrael. It was all Tar Omes. Right, or Shimon Ross referenced this but a moment ago.
Well, I'm a Irish man, Kilkaluch, and I'm a Rainu Gamanachno Kholagoim Vishapatnu Malkinu, your telephonino.
So, this is a classic, right? So, there are three distinctive views in the Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's a mitzvah. Rabbi Nahorai says the whole thing is a gnus, it's taromes, it's a rus avodah zarah if you want to integrate the sifrei. And then we have this kind of a middle shita, which is, you know, yesh v'yesh, right? Rabbi Lazar shita, it's on your own terms, is what? That. Well,
it could have been good, but then it was messed up.
Right, so, you know, you could have it for good reasons, you could have it for bad reasons. Maybe it's hard to say whether having a king is objectively good or bad. Maybe it depends, like, who wants it and why. For what purpose, to what ends. Right, we don't say this about the mitzvah of matzah. You don't say this about the mitzvah of shofar. You don't say that about the mitzvah of tefillin. Nobody says, well, you know, it may be a good thing to put on tefillin. It may not be a good thing to put on tefillin. It really depends why you want to put on the tefillin. I mean, clearly, it would be best if, you know, you're doing it because it's a mitzvah. And l'man tiyeh Torah Hashem b'ficha. Remember the Bach from the first shir of the year. But in the final analysis, right, I mean, that's not really the dispositive element. So Reb Lazar has this remarkable view. It's a kainim shebedor kahogan shalu. That was appropriate. Amei haaretz kilkalu. I think it's a huge chiddush. Shimon Ross was suggesting maybe it's even the pshat. I have a harder time with that, but okay. So let's go a little bit deeper. So Tanya.
Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Amar Shalosh.
The Girsi here is probably Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because it's Rabbi Yehuda who holds it. It's a mitzvah. You see, you have these Cadillac fancy hagos on the side. Left side. You guys don't have that in your margins?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay. Yeah, it's Rabbi Yossi, right? Did you take out Rabbi Yossi, put in Rabbi Huda? It makes more sense, because Rabbi Huda is the one who says it's a mitzvah.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys have all this fancy stuff on the side of your Gemara. Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter. Fine. Rabbi Huda.
חיים מדוד הוא אומר, והיא כי ישב המלך דוד בביתו, והשם הניח לו מסביב וכתיב, ויאמר המלך אל המתן אבי, ראה נא אנוכי יושב בבית ארזים וגומר.
Okay. So we have the sequence that first it's melech, then what comes next? And then? So this, to me, is now, like, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Shita, as we saw in the Sifrei, and earlier in the Bavli, but squared or cubed. This isn't just a mitzvah. And maybe you saw an echo of this in the Sifrei, right? Asei mitzvah shebeparsha zo shebischara tikane slar. Not just any mitzvah, right, Eitan? But what it, you know, rests upon it? David? Going into Eretz Yisrael, according to Sifrei, according to the Bavli, the Bisa Mikdash! Right, this is an indispensable step in the process towards Beis HaMikdash. Right, you say this is step one. Then, you know, Milchama LaHashem BaMalek. Two, prerequisite for that, and live those on Beis HaBechira. I can't stress enough how sui generis the entire phenomenon is. We're not just debating, is this a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan? We're debating something much more fundamental. Is this a mitzvah min haTorah associated with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Or is this a repudiation of Malchus Shamayim and the gateway to Avodah Zarah? This is really min ha-katzeh v'ad ha-katzeh. It's hard to imagine, Ariel, even if as tohar, right? It's hard to imagine anything quite analogous to this in terms of conceptualizing it as amongst the worst things that could happen or a critical step for some of the most important things that need to happen. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Those who hold that it's a mitzvah, in my opinion, I think this is just an objective statement, have to do a little bit of standing on their heads, both in terms of Shmuel, right? It was just the wrong time. It doesn't sound that way. And what do they have to do, Rav, with the Mishpat HaMelech? That when Shmuel tells them all these things, they say, oh, he was just, yeah, he was just, you know, kind of trying to intimidate, frighten them. But yeah, you're not really going to do these things. Now, Avi, you were, I think, very appropriately sensitive to the, you know, in the Rambam and the Ravid. You know, it seems like those are, you know, it's a trivial machlokas relative to this in terms of its scope. I think you'd have to say that the simple pshat, you know, is with the skeptics in terms of Malchus. To say that the whole Mishpat HaMelech, this whole section of Sefer Shmuel, was this big, you know, empty threat, La'ayim Aleihem, I would read this parsha in Sefer Shmuel 100 times and never get that impression. I have to be honest. I would never get that impression. You know, Shmuel doesn't sound like he's joking or bluffing. Yeah, Avi.
Like, why is the Torah so ambiguous?
Oh, thank you. And that's the critical question. And I'm very appreciative, Avi, for asking it. I'm sure I will get cut off. So let me just quickly respond to that. I very briefly said before that unlike Avodah Zarah, right, which is categorically restricted, it seems like this area of the Torah is subject to b'derech shadam rotzalei lech ba molichin oso. that Hashem says, if they want to bring this disaster upon themselves, I'm not going to get in my way. Don't come crying to me about it. But, if that's what they want, I'm not going to tell them otherwise. And that is Omer Darshani. Because normally the Torah does not take such a laissez-faire approach to things that are spiritually harmful. The Torah doesn't say, well, you could eat treif, eat an avela, eat a behemoth tmeah, eat a treifa, and, you know, don't come crying to me about it. The Torah says it's awesome. So why is that? That's a critical piece of the question.